The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 10th chapter. And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came up to Jesus and said to him, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you." And he said to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left hand, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized?" And they said to him, "We are able." And Jesus said to them, "The cup that I drink, you will drink, and with the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand or at my left is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared." And when the 10 heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, "You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. But whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.
Jesse James fell from an elevated position. Not only had he been the leader of the infamous James Younger gang, he was standing on a chair, cleaning a picture above the mantel in his living room. That's when he was toppled with a shot from behind. It came from Bob Ford, who was there with his brother, Charlie Ford, both members of James's gang. The top dog taken down in an opportune moment. From the politics of primaries to the backdoor deals of Western bandits, such reversals, or the attempts to make them, are rather mundane. The will for the top rank is as pervasive as it is ancient. But Jesus is different. Instead of giving his followers the rank and the status they want, he reorders their will with some reversals of his own. It seems that this is what James and John are after, a promotion in rank. They are one of two sets of brothers among the 12 disciples whom Jesus had named apostles. The others were Peter and Andrew. And according to St. Mark, Peter and Andrew were called first to follow Jesus. And then James and John, their occasional fishing partners, came next. But pretty soon, Peter, James, and John became the inner circle of Jesus' 12. He took these three along into the room when he raised a little girl. He took them with him up on the mountain for his transfiguration. He will keep them close in the Garden of Gethsemane. But if there is a top dog among them, it's Simon Peter, quick to speak, ready to act. Jesus had even given him a special name, Peter, the rock. But Peter had been tripping up. First, he had told Jesus that suffering and rejection were just out of the question. And second, just verses before our gospel lesson today, he voiced his concern over what you might call the benefits package of disciples who had left so much behind to follow Jesus. And on both occasions, Jesus rebuked him. And James and John saw it. And they are making a move. And of course, with right and with left, there's no third spot. As they draw near to Jerusalem, the moment of glory they've been waiting for, the sons of Zebedee ask for the top spots in Jesus' coming administration. What bandits and candidates want, these disciples want too. Recognizable status, winning rank, and the benefits of such position. Are we any different? But of course, that's dangerous business, telling Jesus what you want. He'll give it, or something more. And James and John, in fact, got new ranks. But the reversal they got was more than they had bargained for. It's interesting that every time that Mark, and Matthew as well, mention James and John, James is mentioned first. They refer to them six times in this way, talking about John. They say, John, the brother of James. So there's an order to this dynamic duo. And everybody knows that John is James's younger brother. And dynamic they were. Jesus calls these fellows thunder sons. Once, when a Samaritan village didn't welcome Jesus, they contemplated calling down fire from heaven to destroy the whole place. And John was perhaps the pluckiest of the whole bunch. Younger brothers can be like that, of course. They grow up wrestling above their weight class, and in a real fight, they know they've got some muscle behind them. John once told Jesus how they had told a guy who was casting out demons in his name to cut it out because he didn't belong to their posse. In the reversal that these two sought, the brothers knew James was sitting right and John left. But in the reversal that they got, James becomes the brother of John. That's how Luke can refer to him. Because Luke also wrote the book of Acts. And he writes this in the 12th chapter. King Herod laid violent hands on some who belonged to the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Jesus makes these brothers the bookends of the apostles, the point man and the rear guard. James is the first of the apostles to be martyred. He drank a cup of wrath at the hands of a violent usurper king. And John goes on to outlive them all. He bore the heavy solitude of the non-martyr. He saw a deluge of suffering wash over the church's first generations and then bore witness to that in a unique and visionary capacity in the book of Revelation. So James and John, his kid brother, asked to sit right and left in Jesus' glory. What they got was a cup and a baptism by which the deceased James became the brother of the veteran John. When Jesus reverses the ordering of John and James. Instead of giving them their requested promotion in rank, he's not actually rebuffing them. He's drawing them closer to his own unique glory, a glory they do not yet understand, a glory linked to his own personal reversal. In addition to naming Simon Peter and calling James and John the sons of thunder, Jesus also took the Son of Man for his own designation. And with that name, he was always pointing to this figure who had been seen by the prophet Daniel in a vision of God's heavenly throne room, a royal figure given dominion and glory such that all of the Gentile nations served him and worshiped him. That is the highest rank possible accorded any man, and Jesus knew that. But he also knew that his Father had spoken to him at his baptism in a very different key, addressing him as a servant, the servant seen by the prophet Isaiah. And as Jesus sets about reordering the wills of his disciples, he recalls the servant song of Isaiah 53, noting that servant who would suffer and redemptively give himself for the people. The most astonishing reversal of all is that Jesus puts servant before Son of Man. He puts suffering before glory. That's the order to which he has conformed his will. And that is why he is on his way resolutely to Jerusalem. And that ordering effects a redemptive reversal, a reversal right down to the wishes and the wants of Jesus' followers. He's making a people whose sentiments are not simply mundanely pagan. What a number he did on John. In his later years, that former fireballing son of thunder became awfully tender. He preferred to address people as little children. He wrote to them about a God who is love. That's the substance of his letters. Brothers and sisters, we are not simply able to want what Jesus wants, to rank others first, to embrace suffering. We come to such reordered willing as that by way of Jesus' baptism and Jesus' cup. To be baptized under Jesus and to drink from his cup is to participate in the surprising, fuller glory of the Son of Man, before which self-giving service and suffering are willingly ordered. So things are different with you than they were in the living room of Jesse James, than they always are among the pagans. For you follow the greatest man of all, who willingly made himself the servant of all. In the holy name of Jesus.
Amen.